Atlanta's Théâtre du Rêve, or Theater of the Dream, turns 20 this year, and currently it is the only professional Francophone theater troupe in the U.S. That is, they perform plays in French, and those inspired by French culture, from France to Senegal to Vietnam. The Dream was Carolyn Cook's. She was the artistic director during the first 10 years of the company. Now she's returning to the helm after Park Krausen's decade of tenure. I parlayed with both of them about their 20 years of French theater. Here's Carolyn.
The role change was prompted from two directions at once, which mm-hmm. was really exciting.
Very symbiotic,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which was kind of like the
which
initial
is,
role change as
yes.
well.
The theater company started out as a dream that I had to marry my two professional passions of theater and French, and then Park was one of the early artists to join us and worked with us extensively over the years and had so many amazing ideas for the company, so many ideas about where it could go, what it could become, that it became clear after 10 years that it was her turn. It was her turn to take on the leadership of the company. That was so crystal clear to me, and it was very exciting to be able to say, you're the future, let me support you. And she took over and has run with it and created something magnificent over the last 10 years that I know she'll talk more about in terms of international connections and dialogues among artists, and created an even bigger dream, really, for the company. And I can say that what prompted me to want to return and become more involved at this point in my own personal life is a sense that I'm in a good place for that. My child is in college, and I'm ready for a new artistic adventure. But I'd really like Park to talk about her 10 years and what she's accomplished and why she's ready to move in new directions as well.
I love when Carolyn says that 10 years ago, I was really ready to take on the torch as artistic director. It was a beautiful happening of things. I sometimes say it was thrust upon me. You know, some have greatness thrust upon them. It was one of those moments where I think you can do this, Park.
And I said, know you can do this, Park.
I know you can do this, Park. And she had, you know, confidence in me. It was a really lovely transition because, as she was saying, at the point that I'd done graduate work in Paris and had come back to the U.S. and continued to work with Théâtre du Rêve as an actor, and then in development, basically assessing who in Atlanta would be interested in seeing Francophone theater, in theater in French, beyond just the Alliance Française and the French Chamber of Commerce. There's such a rich Francophone community or Francophile community in Atlanta that we discovered. So from that moment on, I had been saying to Carolyn, meaning from the time that I was in France at graduate school, I said, you know, I really think that there's so many living artists with whom we could work and create these cross-cultural dialogues. And for a year, she said, that's a great idea. The next year, that's a wonderful idea. The following year, she said, this is a fantastic idea. I support it. I want to be a part of it. But I think it's your turn to lead the company.
Who are these Francophones in Atlanta? Who makes up that community?
That's a great question, Lois. So Francophones and Francophiles. So, of course, as I said, the Alliance Française, the French American Chamber, but you also have the consulate of Belgium, of Switzerland, of Haiti. I'm missing one, Canada. And you have the Quebec delegation here. So you have strong Canadian, Haitian, Swiss, Belgian, French populations already. And the year I took over, the Haitian population was actually the largest, quickest growing immigrant population in Atlanta that year. So there's there are a number of communities.
And quite a few West African countries from whom people have moved to Atlanta mm-hmm. and the Atlanta area, particularly the Clarkston area, which is where I live. So it's a rich international community in mm-hmm. Atlanta.
And have any of those immigrants come to productions?
Oh, we go to them.
We go to them. We were there this morning.
Yes, we were at the Clarkston Community Center today. So, we have a lot of relationship with all sorts of different communities. Park has brought artists to Atlanta through programs from Haiti, from Belgium, from Montreal, from other parts of the United States. It's a very exciting company that she's built that I'm returning to.
Mm-hmm.
two decades covers a lot of territory in the theater of the dream. Tell us about each of your highlights.
Well, actually, one of my highlights comes right at the end of the first 10 years. One of the things that I had wanted to do for a long time and decided to make sort of the last big project that I organized before we moved into the vision that Park was bringing to the company was a production that we created ourselves based on the fables of Jean de La Fontaine. And we created a piece called Vive La Fontaine. It contains gorgeous, gorgeous renderings of these fables, which Americans would probably recognize as Aesop's fables. But Jean de La Fontaine was a French writer who put these fables in verse and exquisitely critiqued courtly life and politics and society and greed and everything that needed to be examined in his culture. But through this flowery verse of these sweet little stories about animals. So we created a piece very, very vibrant, very lovely, with music and movement. And it was just one of the most thrilling projects I've ever been involved in. I wasn't the director. I was an actor in
and
it.
Creator.
And creator. And a co-creator, along with Park and Adam Fristo. And our director was Ariel Fristo. So it was really, really thrilling. I wouldn't trade anything for the opportunity to create a new piece of work in a foreign language around this material that was so classical and so contemporary and relevant. Mm. It was thrilling.
And Park, for you?
I have so many. I'm so proud of what we've done. And the first major piece that I produced, an international piece, was with actors Chris Kaser, Carolyn Cook, Joe Knezovich, Ariel Fristo, and myself, written by a Belgian playwright, directed by a Belgian director. And it was such a gift. Carolyn had always talked to me about her dream of acting in France, as did Chris Kaser, and we were able to take the play to France. It was a piece that dealt with the ever-changing and dynamic relationship between France and America. So not only making that happen on American soil at a very tense moment when we were pouring out our French wine into the, you know, into the sewers, Freedom Prize yes. and everything, that was a really beautiful marriage of things, looking mm-hmm. at ways in which art can address difficult conversations that politicians may or may not be able to, working artistically within that context, making it here, touring it around the U.S., and then touring it to France was so special.
So this was maybe 05, mm-hmm. 04, 05?
And we ended up in France the week after Obama was elected. So it was almost this period piece because we were looking at
right.
Bush's America.
And I would say that's my other highlight, really. When I started the company, one of my goals was to perform in France. And I never made that happen, but Park made that happen. And when I stood on a stage in Paris, France, and spoke my lines in French and realized that this incredible dream had come true thanks to her, it was a moment I will never forget.
Now, it truly has been realized, the Théâtre du Rêve.
Absolutely.
You have actors performing who don't speak French. How does that work?
Well, that depends on the production. Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly have productions where there's English, so those people can perform in English. But occasionally an actor has learned some French, improved on the French that they already knew, or learned phonetically. But for the most part, we have people, when they're in a French-speaking role, who are comfortable enough in French that we can coach them. But we don't only perform in French, mm-hmm. so we do have other actors as well.
Yeah, and I think that we had talked about this in the past, Lois, when I chatted with you before. Thank you. You know, we used to do one play a year in French and have since evolved in a way so that we do sometimes a play in French and in English, the same play performed by the same actor, so you can pick and choose your adventure. or internally in a play doing plays bilingually and then also having super titles. So there are many options.
And I think that just to piggyback on what Park said, what's beautiful about that is that we have opened up our audience possibilities so that the audience can come see a show. If we offer it in both French and English, they can see both and compare and see what does the play feel like? Does it feel different in translation? What is the experience of seeing a play in your native language and then seeing it in a different language? They can choose simply to see it in a language other than their native language, or if they're most comfortable with English, well, we have that. Or what is it like to mix the languages up? We had a beautiful event yesterday where we performed a play that is internally both in French and English. So we're constantly going back and forth. And I think people were captivated by it. When people come and spend time with us, that they're not just taking a French grammar class. They're not just taking a French conversation class. They're not just trying to read that French novel that they were trying to read in college. They're immersing themselves in a French world. And the French comes back very quickly. People are surprised at how quickly they begin to feel like, oh, I get it. I'm here. I understand. I'm actually communicating, or I'm actually receiving communication in French. So it's very thrilling for us. For everything from, we have camps for very, very young children. We have programming for high school students working on their French. Adults who are coming back to French. Adults, of course, who are from French-speaking countries. But thinking in terms of Americans, Atlantans who are interested in French, ours is a safe place. It's a fun place. And it's a very enriching place to exercise your French.
In the U.S., we're seeing a decline in the study of other languages. Among the Romance languages, Spanish still attracts students, but now many students in the 21st century are interested in Chinese and Arabic. Some schools offer computer language as an alternative. What do you say to people who question the relevance of French today?
I have two things to say. There was actually a study came out that French is one of the fastest growing languages in the world because of the population growth in Western and Northern Africa.
Vraiment.
And the growth of business in Africa. I think that people would be very, very well positioned to put themselves in a French class.
Yes, depending on what you want to study. And then, I mean, as far as an argument across the board, I think about someone who's choosing to study politics or democracy, because all of our democratic writings,
core documents
are inspired by French philosophers. So there's always a relevance. And much of our language, which is inspired by Germanic and Romance languages, have so many similarities to French, obviously Italian and Spanish. So it just enriches your vocabulary and your ability to communicate.
And I would add that French is delicious.
Oh, well,
I think
yes.
that just for the pleasure, for the sheer pleasure, French feels good, it sounds good, it's gorgeous, and it is spoken on every continent. So I think it's important to note that French is everywhere. It's all around us.
In a way, I think, uncommon to any other era, English predominates now in a way that's accepted because of tech.
Exactly. Because of, yes, because of the internet, because of technology. And maybe that's a good time for us to say that as incredibly exciting as the technological revolution has been, there is still a place for human beings to gather together in the same room and experience art. And I deeply, deeply value what we do as theater artists for that reason. Not simply, although I still think that people would be very, very wise to add French to their resumes for the job opportunities, for the political opportunities, for the ability to live, truly live in a global society. I think French is a great asset. But I also think that there is a great case to be made for art as a way to bring people together, to build bridges, to explore differences safely, openly, creatively, and to seek connections that we assume are not available to us. I think that our theater company, because it is a bilingual theater company, because we work in two languages, and because we are not simply trying to teach people French, we are trying to allow people to live and breathe within a room of French art. We are in a unique position to help break down cultural barriers, which is what I think art can do so beautifully.
This has been wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lois, for having us.
Merci beaucoup. C'est un grand plaisir.
Pour moi aussi, et bonne chance.
Merci.
Merci.